Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And it's summertime in Australia when bushfires are always a problem, but this season is the worst in more than 30 years. A farmer died battling a blaze last October. Thankfully, no humans have been reported killed in this month's fires, but many animals have been killed or badly injured. So after firefighters go through, it's the vet's turn. Dr. Rachel Westcott is a veterinarian with the South Australian Veterinary Emergency Management, or SAVEM. She's been responding to the terrible Adelaide Hills fire. Dr. Westcott, how does it work? Vets across the country just sign up with your group to be what, on call?
That's pretty much it, Robin. We have vets who are volunteers and vet nurses who are volunteers, but we do insist that they go through our training program. We don't just put people untrained into a fire ground because it's an extremely dangerous place to be. So they volunteer with us, they start off with an introductory online training program, and then they come to our training workshops.
And then, as we said, they sign up to be called to respond when there is something like a fire or a disease outbreak. So then what do? Walk through the burn area?
Everything's a bit different. It's all a case-by-case basis. For this fire, because it's so large, it has a 220-kilometre fire perimeter, which is about 100 miles in your terms and about 30,000 acres. And the terrain is very steep. It's very inaccessible. We have not been able to walk through the fire ground because of the danger of falling trees. And what we have been doing is relying on members of the public to be our eyes and ears, and they ring in with animals needing assistance. So we send out then a response team, which is usually one or two vehicles comprising at least one vet, and we go and retrieve those animals from the fire ground, or sometimes we can even treat them on site.
Well, and they've also been going to the Adelaide Koala and Wildlife Hospital for treatment. We hear about burnt kangaroos, koala bears. What kinds of animals are we talking about?
Well, we respond to animals of all species. There are some primary producers in the area. So initially there were livestock, but there are also lots of pet livestock, horses, alpacas, small numbers of sheep, and some domestic pets as well. But now, and all the way through, but particularly now as animals are coming out of the fire ground, we're seeing koalas and kangaroos primarily, mm-hmm. and those animals have some pretty severe injuries. Some of those are also going to the Adelaide Zoo, and we're sending animals to some local private veterinarians as well. But mainly now they're quite severely, they're in need of intensive care, so they're going to the zoo.
Well, we want to hear more about them in a second, but you know, for those who are saying, oh, all of this effort for animals, it's easy to understand for people who are animal lovers, but we understand that this is also safer for humans because people are more likely to evacuate burn areas if they know that their domestic animals can be taken care of.
There's certainly a growing body of knowledge that supports that. But the human-animal bond is a very, very strong thing in our society, and people value their animals greatly. And there are many, many reasons why animals are valuable to human well-being. And yes, people are more likely to evacuate if they know their animals are going to be cared for, are going to be saved, are going to be treated, and they're going to see them again.
Now, I've read about other occasions where people wouldn't leave because they weren't allowed to bring a dog or a cat onto, say, a rescue vehicle. So there's that. And then there's the mittens. People may have heard of this. The terrible pictures of a koala with burnt paws, and the International Fund for Animal Welfare posted the pictures, sent out an appeal for mittens, and you were overwhelmed. I mean, in fact, I think I read a post that said, stop sending mittens, because so many people had sent them. And then the call was to make pouches for orphan kangaroos, because they needed to have almost this like sewn up diaper to be in if they were without their mothers. So tell us more about those two needs.
Sure. Yes, you're absolutely right. We are mittened out at the moment. We have mittens for the next couple of responses, I think. But that's lovely because we really value people being involved, and some people can't contribute in any other way, and we really value that as part of people's response to the animals' needs. Pouches, we're not doing too badly for pouches, but pouches are something that's perhaps a little overlooked, and pouches are very useful. Sometimes we have the need for quite little ones, for possums. Kangaroo Joey's, if the parent has died.
Kangaroo Joey? Is that the baby?
Yes, Kangaroo Joeys are their little babies, and they are viable as long as they're about 80 grams if the parent dies. So we need little lined soft pouches for them.
Well, we'll link people to how they might help. But meanwhile, the Australian Marine Wildlife Research and Rescue Organization posted a Facebook message saying, well, wait a minute, mittens for koalas might impede the animal's ability to hold leaves and branches. But your group took the position that mittens were needed to help the koala's paws heal after they were burned. You know, it really is a powerful reminder of how we do care about these animals. Is this unique to your country, or have other countries contacted you about this idea of organizing in advance these on-call veterinarians to respond to fires?
There are several groups around the world that are veterinary response groups. One that you will know in your country is the Veterinary Emergency Response Team from UC Davis, run by Dr. John Madigan. And Dr. John Madigan came here for a conference about 5 years ago, and I spoke with John then, and he had some very powerful messages to tell us. And we had already started SAVEM because of the 2009 Victorian bushfires, but it was a strong link for us linking into the veterinary community.
So in other words, you actually got advice from veterinarians in California who've had to fight so many fires there.
Well, we certainly looked at all the website, and I've been to some of John Madigan's talks, and we certainly had some early initial directions in which we needed to head came from there. And going right back to the Californian fires in the 1970s is where the incident command system stems from that we use here.
Well, a couple last questions about what you do. If you find a healthy animal in a burned out forest, do you leave it to fend on its own with no vegetation, or do you try to save that animal? And once you have healed the paws of a koala bear, you know, with mittens, do you then bring them back into the environment?
Once again, it's a case-by-case basis, and when we have a call to respond to an animal, we'll send out one or two teams. We'll assess that animal's needs. Sometimes we do sedate them in field and bring them back to our triage centre. Sometimes they're okay to leave as a watch and act action, and we monitor those over several days. And sometimes if there's enough feed around, we can leave them there. So we certainly don't leave them to fend for themselves. We make sure that all their needs are met as far as safety, vegetation, food, water, and any injuries that need to be monitored.
Dr. Rachel Westcott, a veterinarian with South Australian Veterinary Emergency Management, or SAVEM, on rescuing animal victims of bushfires. Dr. Westcott, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin. Delighted to talk with you.
Boy, it really gives me such hope for humanity, really, that there are people that do that.
And make mittens for koalas.